The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Chat that we work with, guys. Y'all liking the Discord chat we got?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Everybody having some fun. You know, when we plan stuff ahead of time with that chat, everybody gets to see what's going on. Tyler says in the chat, "I'm gonna be a little late today," and I said, "We already planned for that. So what do you mean?" Because in the last 3 weeks, Tyler, you've been late to everything that we've set.
Well, this time it wasn't exactly my fault.
But it wasn't not your fault either.
You're right.
So what happened today,
so
Tyler?
So last night, I went to stop by my brother's for a little bit. I had to drop off some tax stuff for him that came to the apartment.
Sure, came to the house, yeah.
So I get there and I took a shot.
Well, of course. It's
and then
you and
we were
brother.
Bullshitting, and we took another shot, and then, you know that old saying, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then drink takes a man? Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. Suddenly, it is 5 in the morning, and I'm waking up on his couch, just still pretty drunk, and I discovered that we had smashed through nearly a half gallon of vodka, and at some point in the night, my brother decided it was a really good idea to take my keys so I couldn't drive.
Which, he had taken, by the way, had taken them at like 9:30, 10 o'clock when I was trying to get you to come shoot pool.
Yeah, he had taken them early. Now,
so
that,
7 hours later when you wake up, yeah, you realize you don't have your keys.
Yeah, because he took them and I didn't really remember that happening at the time. Now, here's the really fun part. I still don't have my keys.
Because so it's Monday now, and you still don't have your keys.
Still don't have my keys because...
And this happened on a Friday.
To quote my brother, I don't remember where I put your keys, but I do remember thinking, while I was hiding them, oh, this is a great spot. Nobody's ever going to find these. So
where are Tyler's keys?
Fucking who knows,
man. Can we guess real quick? It's in the vicinity of... his brother's house.
I think he might have just fucking gone out the back door and tossed him into the yard.
That'd be a dick move. Yeah. That is also your brother.
Nobody will think where these are.
Yeah.
No one will think to look in the tall grass.
Like, I can see that.
Okay, that's one. The tall grass.
The tall grass.
Adam?
Attached to his own keys.
No, I know
keys.
That's
yes.
Not true. I've seen both sets of keys
okay,
today.
So another
oh,
one.
Dang. I was really
oh,
really
dang.
That
was
one.
Good.
down the toilet.
Okay.
Maybe they're in the back of the toilet.
Like, yeah, back, like,
oh, I was
like
thinking, like,
Decker?
No one will find these when I flush them.
mine would be, like, in Pumbaa's food.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Oh,
in,
that's
inside
actually
of Pumbaa's food.
Like, that's actually
Pumbaa is their big dog.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, so inside of his food bag or whatever.
Switch is now inside of Pumbaa.
Yeah, which could possibly.
Yeah, I mean, he could eat the keys. He's a big dog.
No one will think to look for them here.
You're gonna have to fucking
for sure.
Gonna have to cut them open, get those keys out like Han Solo.
You know,
gonna have
the
to
part that really
that dog.
Ticks me off is I have spare car keys
where?
And I have a spare apartment.
Are they on your keys?
No, no, they're at the apartment. But
well, not the house key, not the spare house key.
Not the spare house key. The spare house key is with my brother's girlfriend because she had a copy or she had the extra key when he was living there, mm-hmm. And she's gone for the weekend. So I have my spare car keys, and that's it.
So
that's why I was late.
Y'all are attached to the hip.
Yeah, that's why I drove, because Tyler was just like, can you drive? And I'm like, yeah, you probably shouldn't leave someone with a house key until you get your shit back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fun.
So where are you taking them from here? You're going to go to, like, your dad's house and then go to, maybe
nah,
see
dog,
your mom?
I'm hungry as
then...
fuck. I'm going to get dinner.
But he can't eat.
I mean, that's entirely his prerogative.
You're not working with me here on this, man.
I'm hungry.
Well. Welcome to Comic. Hey, yo, Josh on the couch again. It's time for some comics, Baroo.
How does that feel to be on the couch?
It's like a once every 3 week thing.
He's on the casting couch pretty regularly.
But... is that a porn joke?
Yeah, there's this whole thing.
Yeah, this whole casting couch thing. Yeah, isn't it a little bit on the nose when, like, people like Rose McGowan turned literally on a casting couch?
It's a little, little tone deaf there, Adam.
Yeah.
Well, we know you've been trying to bring Comics Brew to the next level, and we appreciate all that hard work you've been doing from your back.
You're talking about me?
Yeah. Because I just made the casting couch.
Comics Brew's next level was 2 years ago.
We're trying to bring it up to that next level.
Either way, what have you over there, Sir Adam Producer Man?
Yeah. What about it? Oh, I'm drinking a Montucky.
Well, I've got something Chris grabbed for me because I'm insanely hungover today.
You sound better than you did when we first met.
I feel you should have heard him when he walked in the apartment this afternoon.
I hear it was something to be reckoned with.
God, it was bad. My brother still hasn't found my fucking keys. So I have a Backwoods Brewing Company, probably. But Backwoods Brewing Company pecan pie porter that Chris grabbed for me. And it is actually really good. Super caramely.
It is. I think it's like overly a good caramel taste,
but
yeah.
I like it a lot.
Right on. I'm drinking something that I bought on Tyler's Merits based off of the name. So I'm drinking a Founders Brewing Backwoods Bastard. And then I've come to find out it's an ale aged in bourbon barrels.
It's tasty.
It is delicious. It tastes like one of Tyler's, like, choice picks. Like, this is what Tyler picks for himself regularly. Yeah.
But also, I would also pick that based off the label and
right?
name.
It's pretty dope, right? Like, old school dude, like, with a, looks like a, it's not a, it's whatever the rustic knapsack is, not a gun. Oh, it's an axe. It is an axe. My bad. Yeah. I didn't see that.
It's an old guy with an axe. It's called Backwoods Bastard.
Floppy
so,
Western hat. Absolutely. So, let's see. Expect lovely, warm smells of single malt scotch, oaky bourbon barrels, smoke, sweet caramel, and roasted malts, a bit of earthy spice, and a scintilla of dark fruit. It's a kickback sipper made to excite the palate. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And then I've also got a Starburst IPA. This was $1.99, and I think it's like a 7.8.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dang. I was down to try. I'm going to try that one.
$1.09, 7.8. So I was like, yeah, let's go just go with that. I'll be a cheap bastard. So I went to a, real quick, speaking of drinking, I went to a wake last night, and the finer points of Whiskey Rocks have been pointed out to me. And that's probably going to become my drink of choice from now on.
Whiskey on the Rocks?
Yeah,
it's fucking good.
But I had so many different versions of it, like so many different styles of whiskey from Irish to Scotch to American to Canadian. Like, everybody just ignored the rules of the wake and brought whiskey. From across the world. So it was good.
Favorites? Any standouts?
The one I brought is my favorite, Tullamore Dew. It's an Irish whiskey.
That's a good whiskey.
Yeah, they sell a 12-year one for like $80. And like, if I have a good day, like if I have a really good day, I'm going to get one of them.
There you go.
But yeah, Tullamore Dew. And then I got to try, for the first time, Lagavulin. And that, my friends, is
not
good
a Scotch
neat.
Person.
That is good neat and on the rocks.
Yes, yes, it is.
It's mossy, so it tastes like a little bit of grass. But man, it goes down a little bit smoother than some of those Irish whiskeys. That Jameson is rough. Mm-hmm. Jameson is like, you ready?
So, I like Jameson though.
It's sometimes it's distinct. I'll give you that.
Can't really think about drinking that right now, though.
So for the first time in a long time, I'm going into news blind. I have no idea what news is today.
I have an idea. I looked at the titles. I'm letting Adam lead the way.
It is Adam's day.
Well, the titles pretty much sum up what's in the articles. I mean, as most titles do.
Headlines are. I beg to differ. Clickbait headlines.
Fair enough.
Like, grow your penis. Click. Didn't work.
Well. That's not the case for most of these. Well, except for the beer one, which...
Looks like a YouTube video.
No, that is the...
Anyway, where are we going with news?
All right, so first and foremost, Stan Lee was rushed to the hospital. Was rushed to the hospital earlier this week because he had an irregular heartbeat. He was announced stable later that day by his family, and now all is well, and he even plans on going through with his con appearance this weekend.
I don't doubt it. That man is unstoppable.
Yeah, dude, the old mummy is just going to keep trucking.
So,
I don't get it.
So I want to call back to a moment about, I think, like 9 or 10 months ago now. Adam goes, I give Stanley 6 months after his wife died, which is typical, which does happen frequently.
Yeah, especially with the elderly
couples, when one goes, the other goes pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Stanley is the exception to that rule.
Is the unstoppable zombie.
Yeah, this guy is just...
He is literally existing off of Excelsior.
Apparently it works for him. I don't get it. But
he was bitten by a radioactive spider.
It just made it... He didn't...
No powers, just it's going to be hard as hell to kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good to see that Stan the Man is in better health and better spirits and is back to business as usual,
Is this indicative of more stuff down the line?
Heart problems lead to more heart problems. Old. Like, let's be honest.
It is a thing. He's 95.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, like, so that's...
It's past the average age.
It's well past the average age. The average age for an American male right now is, like, I think, like, 82.
Yeah.
But that's... I think that's what it is, but I doubt it. I bet you the more average is close to, like, the early 70s.
Dang. Well... Yeah. Hopefully he's still got a little ways left.
Actually, let me tell you.
I think it's like just under 83. I think it's like 82.6 years.
Well, so for females, for American white females, it's 82 years.
Well, no, I just, because when you when we were talking about that the other day, I Googled just the average lifespan of an American, both male and female, and it's still like 82 years.
That's 78.7 in 2011 and 81 in 2017.
Okay, so you're hitting about 80 pretty regularly.
2014, sorry.
So yeah, Stan the Man is killing it still. However, speaking of Stan the Man and Spider-Man more specifically, there are rumors, now definitely nothing official or anything like that, but there are rumors that Sony Entertainment might be up for sale, including Spider-Man and all other properties that it has. Now this is an industry expert speculation, so obviously, like I said, this is nothing from Sony's camp, specifically. But with their chief executives being replaced by their chief financial officer, who is not a fan of Sony Entertainment at all, they get a pretty strong feeling that Sony will be looking to sell off its entertainment rights.
Hmm. Yeah, the entertainment assets, which includes such coveted Spider-Man. Big screens IPs as Spider-Man and Goosebusters.
Goosebusters. I ain't afraid of no gooses.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of no goose. I'd watch that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously what's going to happen out of this, if let's say this goes down, let's say this rumor mill actually occurs, Disney's going to be probably the first one to up and try and buy it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So the question then becomes, is it at a point now where Disney has a monopoly on entertainment?
It's about to be.
Now, they're right, we're getting closer and closer, right? Yeah.
We've already bought out Fox.
I mean, some of Fox, so that's the thing, though.
It's the majority. It's everything of Fox except for ESPN and Fox News.
That's not all of it, though.
It's the majority of Fox.
Yes, I understand that. But I'm just saying, they don't have everything. That's what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like they're going to be able to get away with it where it's just like, well, no, we don't have a sports anything.
Okay, you're
right.
We don't have news, anything.
They have
a monopoly on fiction. Unless you count Fox News as nonfiction, and then maybe, I don't know.
I will agree with you there. They are definitely killing it in that aspect of entertainment.
So if they decide that, like, if Sony decides to put themselves up for sale, which is Sony's right as a company, they can totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Fox decides to go after it, I would, at this point, I would start looking at the FCC and the FTC. It's just the FTC. At, like, looking into monopoly proceedings off of Disney, because at some point somebody's gonna, like, already people are like, hey,
they've got a humongous market share,
but so unfortunately the people that normally do that, like, hey, they're also Marvel fans, so like they're a little bit okay,
like, hey, if it's
yeah, exactly, they're doing it for Spider-Man, okay, with like Fantastic Four and X-Men coming over, because like, yeah, fuck yeah, MCU,
yes,
but at the same time, there's got to be at some point we've got to limit what controls what, right?
Yeah.
You could, but at the same time, that allows them on an anti-competitive level to employ probably the best people to write the stories and create the stuff. I don't know.
I guess we'll see how it shakes out. Weird. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Who else? Who would, other than Disney, what company do you think out there would be a contender to take? Would it have to be an international power?
I think it'd have to be, because I don't think there's any United States-based companies that could compete with Disney's bid.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that would be able to compete with Disney.
At the time, I would say Fox. I would say Fox had a chance.
Yeah.
But then they just sold to Disney. So.
Yep.
Sony would be the other people I said.
Sony is the people that are selling.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But, like, those are... your kind of top-tier people, or your top-tier companies, when it would come to buying properties like this, and so I just don't see anybody else being able
to
compete with
Disney. I have to wonder, like, who owns Comcast, like Universal and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
Universal might.
Comcast owns Universal, so, like, that might be where that goes. But, maybe.
Yeah. True. But, yeah, so, like I said, it's all just real early, early speculation with the whole executive chief being switched out. Mm-hmm. So, that'll be something we keep our eye on, and we'll let you know. From comics to beer, though, a shitload of Coors Light has recently been stolen.
I heard about this story. Yeah, I read what the story, hell happened?
Dude. $155,000 worth of Coors Light was stolen in Delta. I don't know why it doesn't tell me what state Delta is in.
Hang on. A truck trailer loaded with 2,500 cases of Coors Light beer was allegedly stolen from a yard on Acanis Island last Saturday morning when a red semi-tractor trailer hitched up
Canada?
To a hoppy haul. Yeah, I think
it
so.
It
Richmond.
Must be in Canada, yeah.
Yeah, it's Richmond. Delta Police. This is definitely an unusual theft, says Delta Police spokesperson Chris Lykoff. Oh, dude. It's cbc.ca. It's totally in Canada.
Oh, it is .ca. I didn't notice that.
Well, the CBC Canada Broadcasting, instead of BBC... British Broadcasting, Canada, CBC.
Fair enough. It also says
most
British Columbia at the very top of the article.
For sure. Most pirated stuff that you see up here in Washington
comes
from CBC.
Okay, fair enough.
So, like, people in Montreal and Quebec and stuff like that will be
pirates. So they're nice
pirates. Yeah, exactly. They apologize as they pirate stuff.
But yeah, 2,500 cases stolen when a semi-truck just pulled up to a trailer sitting there, hooked up. And then
Jesus
fucking bounced.
That is some pretty ballsy shit.
That's awesome. But then, like, you have to wonder, like, who's fencing this?
And so it goes on as it gets a little bit more unusual. The trailer had a GPS unit in it, which was found, I believe, 20 kilometers away, where it was unloaded and the trailer was left. Who's got enough friends to help them move 2,500 cases of beer?
That's fucking
organized
insane.
Crime.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
that's the probably
mob.
The definition of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, that is absolute. That's theft, transport,
distribution.
Like, that's ridiculous. And yeah. Then what? Like, cleanup, probably, right?
Well, no, they just left the trailer there.
Yeah.
They just bounced. So, yeah, they really have no leads, and they're just asking anyone who may have seen some noteworthy activity or perhaps is aware of some odd circumstances around the sale of beer to contact the police.
So what I mean by fence it, like, you now have a trailer
full of
beer.
Yeah. How do you get rid of it?
How do you get rid of it? How do you profit off, like...
Sweet Rager, bro.
It's $5 a head. Like, yeah. Everybody's getting
it. Invite the police. Just to mock them.
Tyler, how would you fence 2,500 cases of beer?
One can at a time.
$2? $2?
Yeah, dude.
$2?
You could take that outside, like... Any kind of party, or not parties, like a sporting event, tailgating
concert.
Stuff, concerts. And
tailgating
so,
would be tailgating. Great, actually.
I mean, you got them for fucking free. You can sell them for $2 a pop.
Profit.
Yeah. Profit. Pure profit. Pure profit. It would be amazing.
Maybe. Depending on what level of organization was done in the theft.
Yeah.
What if you had like 4 people with you? Maybe you charge $4 instead of 2.
Maybe. Or you just split the take 4 ways and you each do what you want with it.
That as well, yeah. Everybody gets 750 cases of beer.
To do with what they will.
Do as you will, the caper is complete.
I mean, how many is in the cases? Is it 12-pack cases? Yeah.
Cases are normally 24.
Yeah.
24?
Yeah,
24 is a case, yeah.
So 24...
Unless Coors does that 30-can case, which they might.
Not normal Coors. Coors Light comes in 24 cases.
It is? It? Okay. Yeah. I know some companies
do 14,000 cans of beer.
And,
yeah, that's true.
Milwaukee...
What was that, Tyler?
It was like 14.
Hang on, let's 1,000 get a
cans
going.
Of beer per, or more than that,
per trailer,
per if you split 60, it 4 ways.
60,000 cans.
Well, I think if you split it 4 ways.
So divided by 4.
15,000.
Yeah, 15,000 cans of beer.
So then, if you sold those for $2 a pop,
that's $30,000 a piece.
It
hell
is.
Yeah.
I could do a lot with
that's ballsy
grand.
Motherfuckers.
That's a lot
actually.
Of work though. Like I figured, you want to like for lazy people, you go the bulk.
Oh yeah, you'd sell them to you'd sell cases to dive
like
bars in the middle
right?
of nowhere.
like
yo, you want
10
cases for
yeah, exactly.
half the price? Boom, there you go.
So Tom Segura's most recent stand-up, mm-hmm. he goes, Daddy used to risk his life for getting weed. What do you mean? I used to get in cars with strangers.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Don't worry about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. That is an interesting. I'm glad you brought this to our attention. That's an interesting case.
This is the funniest crime I've ever heard of. We just like back in, hook up, and drive away.
That's exactly what happened.
Boop, wow. Boop,
that's literally exactly what happened.
It's like the pinnacle of act like you belong.
Exactly. Right? Hey, man, so, you know, you don't know, man. Some of these drivers are like, so working with loading those fucking trucks and stuff, some of those drivers, you're just like in awe. Like, damn, you did that. Like, you've done this every day of your life. Like, that was incredible. So, like, I imagine, like Tyler said, like, look like you belong. That's probably just that guy that's like, hey, you good at trucking? Yeah.
Yeah. I am. I is. But, yeah, so if anybody in Canada, any of our faithful, faithful Canadian listeners, find out about some Coors on the cheap, hook it up.
Yeah, right? Hook it up. Oh, I'm glad I know what the last story is.
Yeah, it's for the last story that we're moving into now is the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer.
The teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
I like it. I love that it starts off with like an homage to the reveal in Civil War. And then he goes, hey, if you were there, would you help? She goes, meh.
But if I was there, you wouldn't have gotten caught.
Yeah, exactly. I like that it starts off with like that's the hinge of the story is that it's his involvement in Civil War. Is where, like, you said you'd change and stuff like that.
Yeah. I do like the one little shot of Hank shrinking the building. That shit was
for sure.
That was pretty rad. Yeah.
And shit. Yeah. And it turns into a rolling suitcase.
They do a lot of stuff with the shrinking, like with the car that drives underneath another car and then enlarges to.
Absolutely. The Pez dispenser.
Yeah. This movie looks like it's about to be rad as hell.
Yeah. They're doing more with the giant man. They're definitely include like they are all absolutely doing Hope Van Dyne. Michael Pena's back.
Yeah,
like, you see him in the part of the trailer running.
I'm kind of curious what ends up with the villain, because the villain is Ghost.
Ghost. Which one is Ghost?
Was a Thunderbolt for a bit.
Ghost was the shit.
Yeah. Where's the white suit with like goggle things and he faces through shit.
Ghost was still a part. Ghost was still on the Dark Avengers, but he was Ghost. He wasn't in.
I don't think he was. I think he was the Thunderbolts after that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
But it's interesting. Sort of.
He's one that always alternately. Stank and, like, he's never just left his own dude. Suit, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he goes. Oh God! Get out! Yeah.
Yeah. He's alternately just a rando hacker dude. Sometimes he's like some guy, kind of like on a mission to take down corporations, kind of thing. So. It could be an interesting villain. I'm really curious to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Like, coming after Hank Pym for being a corrupt, you know, overpowered,
Another villain going after Hank's company.
Yeah.
But,
keeping with the Stark motif.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Straight up, though, come on, guys. Like, they are hitting the corporate shill thing really hard in all of Marvel.
Hell yeah.
But overall, like, I enjoyed, like, so I hope we don't have the directorial snafu that we had with Ant-Man 1.
Yeah.
Like, obviously not.
Well, it's not gonna, I mean, it's, what's his name? Adam Reed? Is that his name?
Peyton Reed.
Isn't it almost already done with principal photography?
Oh, it's in post-production.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So at this point, I would otherwise.
Yeah, I would say at this point, I would have really hoped the director's not stepping away.
I guess what I was trying to say is, like, that's the difference between the two. I don't know, productions, is that, like, this time we had a stable director the whole time, whereas opposed to when Ant-Man was first coming out, we had four directors attached to Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And the Edgar Wright that could never be,
or
would never be.
But, hey, we got a damn good movie out of it, and hope there's a damn good part two.
I'm pretty excited
for this.
And
this is a post-Infinity War movie.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is, because we got Black Panther, then Infinity War.
Well, no, I mean, I don't...
Oh,
it comes out afterwards, yeah, but I think it is set before.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We will. Well, if Ant-Man dies in Infinity War, we know it'll take place beforehand.
I doubt he'll die.
We have what? We have Black Panther in 2 weeks.
And then Han Solo in, like, 4 months.
Well, before that, we have Infinity War.
Is that before the Star Wars movie?
It's the 10th anniversary of Iron Man.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then we have Venom sometime this year.
At some point.
And then we also have Ant-Man and the Wasp sometime this year.
I'm so down. I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is probably going
to
be my second
favorite.
Are
we also supposed to have Aquaman this year?
We are.
So, and Shazam, is that next year? Shazam is next year? Either way, there's a lot, there's always a lot coming out for comic book movies, and like, just like to get a taste of them like this, it's always a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, gets me hyped.
Yeah.
All right.
So before we move on, do you guys think that we got any more trailers from the Super Bowl tomorrow?
Oh shit! Before we move on to anything.
Oh yeah, yesterday we got that sweet Han Solo trailer and the new Infinity War trailer.
We got
the new
Black Panther trailer. Westworld season 2 trailer.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hasn't that been announced that that'll definitely be in the Super Bowl?
No, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
It was Monday, remember?
No, it's not.
Derp. Both of you. You started this conversation that way.
I did, and then I said, fuck this stupid joke, it's dumb.
You're dumb.
So last week, remember we had our talk about how Gotenks' strut was a lot like, was a lot like Vince McMahon's strut.
Yeah, we said
so
Ed.
So I said Ed McMahon, Vince. Everybody ran with it. And so Sean Gates on our Facebook definitely pointed out
point
how
out. Yep.
Not only are we wrong, but we're stupid.
We don't know how Ed McMahon walks. He could fucking walk that way too.
He doesn't do much walking now. He's dead.
Well, which means I haven't seen him ever walk. So I guess I have no proof.
I'll play some videos of him walking for you.
I don't believe
it. I don't think he's got the sweet strut.
Not like Vince McMahon.
Nah, he's got
more Gotenks.
That red just swag.
Maybe his walk is better.
Ed McMahon's?
Yeah.
I doubt it. It was probably rickety. I don't think he could make it down that ramp.
I doubt it was rickety at 20.
Well, no, but that was like the 1910s.
Yeah,
so.
It's probably swag as fuck in 1910.
Riddled with cholera.
Yeah, I mean, probably give him that sweet strut.
Y'all ready to rock and roll? Time for some metal. Dark Knight's metal. Number 5.
So that's that came out this week.
It's so good.
That's one of two comics I bought this week.
You only bought two comics this week?
Yeah, that's the only things that came out.
Oh, I saw Animosity came out.
Yeah, that's the other one I got.
So, written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo, always keeping up with our event schedule with Comics Brew. So, what'd you guys think? It's a pretty dope continuation of pretty much what happened last
week. Yeah, this episode was rad as fuck.
Pretty rad
issue, not episode.
It opens with what looks to me like an album cover.
Yeah. It kind of does look
Barbados
like
Barbados hanging on the spire. Seems a little bit like a
Bat Out of Hell with
like
the
Joker,
demon on the building.
With like Joker snakes hanging out at the top and stuff. Like it just seems like that's album art right there. Mm-hmm. Seeing more of our Forger Hawkman.
Yeah, which is rad.
So fucking cool. Him just spouting off lines about how, like, this is unworthy, all roads lead to darkness, and
I like the World Forge, because it seems like it just creates little parts of reality. Like, mm-hmm. they see Crime Alley in, like, the Kent's mailbox.
The Kent's mailbox and stuff, yeah.
It's kind of cool. Little, neat little place. But then there's also a lot of stuff with the other characters out where they are.
Including Aquaman
kind of surprising. I don't know if it's a return, but a character we haven't seen in a little while. And definitely not yet in this series.
You are talking of
good old Martian Manhunter?
That's right, Mr. Martian Manhunter with Hal and Mr. Terrific. That was actually kind of a surprise for me. And I like that he's wearing his new 52 outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's out, like, just like, I don't know, there's a couple other characters that have been outside the Rebirth timeline. I'm thinking of like Wally West.
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter would be the other one that's just like been out, like as far as costume changes go and stuff, like he's been outside the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see him just show up, but it's really cool that like Hal recognizes him automatically, and it's more along the lines of like, oh, we can implicitly trust this guy.
Yeah.
Like, let's just do it. The argument between Wonder Woman, Black Adam, and then to an extent, Lady Darkhawk is a lot of fun too, and you see like the discovery and recreation of rediscovery of Hawkman's mace.
Yep.
And it is so dope.
It's
only
pretty dope.
Only like you expect Wonder Woman to get it. Like, yeah, she got it. It's gonna be good, and she definitely lays out Black Adam with it, which
and
is great.
And then gets clapped.
And then like just like Snyder to do, he subverts your expectations of what's gonna happen.
Yep.
And fucking the Batman who left just comes in and is like, hey, bow, I'm gonna shoot you in the face, and then thanks for giving me the mace.
Yep.
I did not mean that to rhyme.
Oh, well, it did. Good job.
Yeah.
Although, I think she got shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, you're right. She did. She did. Well, whatever. She, the back of her face, she got shot in.
Back face.
The back of the face. But yeah, it's a pretty exciting issue. We got one left, right?
Yeah, we do have Dark Knight's Metal number six left. I also love the. I knew this would happen, and I think people that have been following metal knew that like this kind of thing would happen. But every other outside mission, so Green Lantern, Mr. Terrific, Wonder Woman, Black Adam, and fucking Aquaman and Deathstroke. They each met the other Dark Knights, essentially. Yeah. They all got, like all of the hopes and dreams that they had all tarnished and thrown away.
Yep.
It was always going to be, like, this really debilitating, depressing, like, arc. Like, a five-issue arc of, like, this is just unstoppable bad stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so we know that, like, somewhere, somehow, in, like, number six, we're gonna get like a fucking ballad of heavy metal awesomeness, like from like Led Zeppelin or some shit, and it's gonna be like the redemption of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully. Overall, like, what do you guys think of like the art, the execution of the panels? Like,
it's a beautiful book, like always.
Any twist that you guys appreciate more than anything else?
I just enjoyed the book all around. Like, I think the biggest twist in this was just Wonder Woman getting shot. Other than that, there was no big, like, oh my god moments.
I like how it ends on a war cry. Like,
yeah.
It's definitely like.
And the library burning.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally like the war cry itself is reminiscent of Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
So it's like, if anything, Scott Snyder has done his homework for DCU.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone back into like the deep reaches, like from the first issue, he's gone back into the deep reaches of the DC universe and brought out like. What you can call the most metal versions of DC.
Oh, yeah. He made some pretty rocking shit. Problem is, he doesn't always end it well, so I guess we'll see.
So we'll see. So we got The Wild Hunt coming up next month, coming up in February. Mm-hmm. And then in March, we get the end of Dark Knight's Metal. I don't know if you guys have seen the cover preview for The Wild Hunt, but it looks dope.
I did, but it was a while ago. I don't remember exactly what it is. Oh, that's right. Yep.
It's pretty much everybody but Devastator, Batman riding a different kind of horse towards the reader.
Mm. Yeah.
Let me see.
It's Dark Knight's The Wild Hunt.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. And it's going to be written by Scott Snyder, Grant Morrison, James Tynion, and Joshua Williamson. It's probably going to be a big prestige issue.
Probably.
So I'm looking forward to that. Who wants to go next on the reviews? I'm sorry I talk so much.
It's all right.
I'll go, because I only got one of the book.
I was going to say, mine will be super quick, because I talked mostly about it last week.
Last week we did Freeform, so.
I know, but we talked a lot about the Hellboy I was reading in last week's.
So, I grabbed Animosity number 12, written and created by Marguerite Bennett, and drawn by Raphael de la Torre.
She's a real cool person, by the way, Marguerite Bennett.
Yeah?
She's, I went to one of her panels at ECC, she's great.
I should see her, because that would be rad, but oh well. This book is kind of getting wacky. Well, it's always been wacky, but the arc that we're in now is Jessie and people she's with have found like a farming community, and everything, they kind of work together, humans and the animals, it's got this good shit going on, but then they get a request from some bees to help them out because the people in this community have stolen their queen, and they're using it to, like, you know, make honey, take honey, have them fertilize plants. And so the last couple issues have been Jessie trying to break this queen out of a farming commune. And she is actually successful in this. But it's what kind of happens afterwards that really sets up that something I'm pretty excited for. Because the bees are going to war. Like, and this is, it really sets it up kind of interesting that, so all these animals suddenly have human intelligence. Bees don't live that long. These bees have, like, come together and made this humongous hive of, you know, a couple dozen hives worth of bees. It's just fucking massive, like the size of a barn. And they point out that this, because they live such short lives, like, there's been generations since the wake actually happened. And, like, everybody, all the animals gained intelligence. So their entire civilization is this one hive.
they've got their own art, they got their own history, culture, everything in this one place. And now that they've decided to go to war, they can just stop fertilizing plants, starve everybody out, and just do, just fuck things up. But of course, there's a little bit more towards the end. Of course, the humans will not just stand idly by. But there is one last little bit that is kind of interesting about a cat that used to be owned by Jesse. It was like her mom's, I think, that they lost track of right in the very beginning, has come back and kind of confronts Sandor, the dog, about some shit that could come into play soon. So I guess we'll see with that. But I'm really more just curious to see how the fuck people are going to stop a bee war.
Well, I mean, like, that's like a war of attrition, right? Like, the bees are going to stop pollinating crops. They're going to stop transplanting pollen from one crop to another, like, stop the seeding process.
Yeah.
Right? So that may not affect humanity today, but 2-3 months down the line, that's going to fuck humanity a lot.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So I wonder, like, in this story, are humans woke enough to know that that's going to happen? Or are they just like, we're at the war with the bees.
Depends on that. I mean, they're just going to go burn the hive down.
Oh, okay.
But or they're going to try to burn the hive down, but then, you know, bees can just fly away. So I guess we'll see. Either way, I really like the book and the characters, and I'm still going to keep picking it up.
Fair enough.
I like that they're utilizing the lifespan of the insects. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that,
something like, I thought about. Like, it's
clever.
Like, everything else is like animals that are reintegrating into society, and they remember when they were
it's kind of like an Invincible, that species that, like, Nolan has another relationship with.
Like, in the time that other animals and humans are just getting used to this world, these bees have created a civilization.
And died, and then re-had another generation. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Also the Flaxons in Invincible, who, like, live years and years and years at a time over the course of days.
Stuff.
Yeah. What do you got for Hellboy? Because mine's the only new one today.
All right, so yeah, Hellboy number 3, The Chained Coffin.
Volume 3.
Yeah. The Chained Coffin and Others is what I'm reviewing. We talked a decent amount about it last week. It is a collection of the shorter stories for Hellboy, some of the earlier ones.
And also very important ones.
Yes, and that's what Tyler informed
me
recently.
There's two really important ones in there.
One of them is, well, where Hellboy kind of came from and why he was kind of born, which was from a woman that wanted some powers and made a deal with a demon, and he put a baby up in her.
You know, a lot of ancient, like, witching tales are that, consort with a demon in order to gain favor.
That's how a lot of the witches are in Hellboy.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Demon. That's old school Eastern Europe stuff.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of Eastern European myths and
so
stuff.
Much, yeah.
In
Which
this.
Is yeah. funny, because isn't Mike Mignola Hispanic?
I don't think so.
Could be talking right out of my ass.
He's white.
He just seems to be a really huge fan for folklore, because in there even times, like, in his little blurbs before the stories, he'll admit he's just like, yeah, the whole reason this monster's even in here is because I have a love
of this kind of monster.
Or for, like, Lovecraftian monsters.
Sure.
Well, boom, giant tentacle
monster.
No,
I couldn't even make the connection between him and Lovecraft. Never. what are you talking about, Adam?
Right, yeah, right. So there's some really good stories in this one for sure. I know Volume 4 is also a bunch of short stories as well.
So we're looking, from my perspective, I'm looking for you to find Rise of the Blood Queen.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's the movie.
Yeah,
that's the movie. So the new movie coming out is going to be about blood.
I don't know anything about
that. Nothing. She doesn't show up till way later.
So, I'm hoping you get there before the movie starts.
I hope so. We have all of this year,
I think, until the movie's out. So, I'd like to see that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I actually would like to get through it all before.
If you come to the German guy, the one that I like, the gaseous one. Yeah. If you ever come to him, let me know.
I think he's in, like, maybe a little bit of Hellboy. He's mostly in BPRD.
Oh, okay, bummer.
Which I might even get to, because as much as I'm loving this Hellboy world, I wouldn't be surprised if I read some more of it for sure.
BPRD sounds fun too.
Yeah,
I'll get there. I've almost finished my run through, you know, Invincible, but I'm gonna go. So the Freeform episode last week interrupted me. I was gonna do Transmet for my last like January like full like,
oh because
I did one every every week. I was gonna do Transmit for mine, and you and I have both read Transmit.
Transmit
and know,
is
like,
phenomenal.
Transmetropolitan by Warren Ellis and Derek Robertson.
I'm really surprised Tyler hasn't read that. To be honest,
He got through I think about six volumes of
no,
it.
No, I went through three.
He got through like three volumes of it, and
maybe
and,
only two.
He got through, I think, two volumes of it. I think
he got, like, through half of one.
He maybe read two pages, and was like, fuck Hunter Gorenson. Fuck
Spider Jerusalem.
Hunter
Spider
S. Thompson. Oh. I don't like futuristic journalism.
It's a dying art.
It's a dying art. It is.
You can make the same argument for comic books.
Man,
yeah,
there are things that go on in the now that are like, man... This is straight out of Transmetropolitan.
Yeah.
Or this is straight out of Idiocracy. Or this is straight out of 1984. Like, it's a wonder why these fiction writers don't hit more things on the nose, you know? Anyway, my review this week is going to...
I'm in. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Like I said, I talked mostly about it last week. So,
My review this week is going to be The Silencer by John Romita Jr.
Yeah, this is from DC's New Age of Heroes.
Dan Abnett, and I think I'm going to do all of these. So The Silencer, you can put another word to that, and that's The Punisher. But it's The Punisher if The Punisher had a stay-at-home mom life after being The Punisher.
Okay.
So.
Like, retired from, or just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, retired from.
Okay.
I'm done with this life. An average day for her name is Honor Price. Yeah, her name is Honor Price, and an average day for her is going to the grocery store with her son.
Doing just mom
shit. Doing mom stuff, and then coming home. I don't know what her job is. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but she comes home to a loving husband, and this has been her life for 6 years. She's been involved with her husband for 6 years. They've been married for four. Their son is three, so his son was born 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And up to today, it's been fine. Apparently, her past life was in service of Talia al Ghul.
Ah.
And her name was, her code name among the demon head was The Silencer. And she has a particular set of powers that I find incredibly fascinating.
So she has actual powers?
Mm-hmm. She puts a finger to her lips and goes, shh. And she can create a sphere of null sound.
Just complete silence.
No sound escapes this sphere.
So she'd be a perfect assassin.
She'd be the perfect assassin. So she has a couple other, she's obviously as a part of the demon's head. She is well trained. She knows all sorts of combat. There's even a point in this where she gets attacked and she gets pulled by the hair. And as you can see from the cover, she has short hair. She gets pulled by the hair and she goes, I cut my hair for a reason. Like, there's moments in here where you're like, oh my god, this woman is the absolute assassin. It's all revealed. Like, the whole thing is revealed very, I don't know, pretty cleverly. Like, it's, you find out all these parts of her backstory, like, in the last third of the comic. The first, you know, two-thirds of the comic are all, like, this woman on her day-to-day life with her son at a grocery store.
And gets dragged back into the life.
Yeah, exactly. I keep coming out and they keep pulling me back in. Like, this guy, this dude that is... Okay, let's see if she describes him. In another life, one I didn't want to live, I'm sorry to say I knew of this man. And I use the word man loosely. Vestigial organics in a biomodded combat chassis would be a more accurate description. He uses the name Killbox and he's kind of a tool. So she uses her cone of silence, like, this is what he becomes. He's essentially like a cyborg killing machine.
Yeah.
And so, like, she stuns him for a second and just she goes ham. She tees off on his face. But it's really cool. Like, she's out of this world. She defends her kid from this massive attack, goes home to her husband, and then Talia al Ghul shows up for dinner and goes, hey, just so you know, you're not out.
Man.
Things are coming back to hit you pretty hard. And, by the way, it's going to happen tonight. I'm super sorry. good luck, you're the silencer again. And then the comic ends with this really climactic attack. Like, she's trying to drive, like, the whole cover for her home life is like, oh, you gotta catch an airplane, like a flight, so I'm gonna drive you away. They go driving away, and silencer comes out of her. She comes out of the explosion with the truck, and she's in her full old school costume. Outfit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem, the only problem I have with this comic, and this comic is actually really well done. And some of the art is okay. The problem I have with this comic is that it's done by John Romita Jr. And I really fucking hate John Romita Jr.
I actually don't mind him at all. I like him.
Every one of his faces the same. If the colorist wasn't involved, I don't think anybody could tell the difference between Talia al Ghul and our main character.
I can see that.
She has this, like, so, like, here's her. Here's the main character, right? And then we'll get to Talia in a second, and I'll show you. They're pretty much they look like the same woman. Very, I know, very curvaceous, very very tits, beautiful. Tiny waist. Yeah. But as far as, like, there you go, right there. They are almost the same character.
Almost.
Like, they right here, look the same. Like, it's he does good, like those brutal moments in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're like, okay, yeah, that guy's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's great John Romita Jr. art. The rest of his stuff, where he's trying to just move a scene along, you're like, everybody in this scene looks the same.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Anyway.
Anywho's.
That's all I got. I recommend The Silencer, and I'm probably going to do this for the next few weeks, is go through all the new Dark Knights Metal stories coming out.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't know if you guys have seen the previews for the Mr. Terrific book.
No, I haven't.
But it looks dope.
Really?
It looks like the Fantastic Four ought to be. It really does. It really does, dude.
Oh. That might be worth a look. So what's our third segment?
Third segment was actually come up by from Chris. And it bleeds out of last week's show, too, because we were talking about the State of the Union last week. Trump had his State of the Union. It was or wasn't what you thought. So real quick, fun fact, 90 minutes long, third longest State of the Union, but 5,500 words long, like least lengthy, like word-wise, State of the Union. His cadence was so slow that he took the longest, but the words he spoke
were... So he had the least amount of say, and he did it in the longest amount of time.
Exactly. Like,
sounds about par for the course.
Yeah.
I just love that little fact there. I've been listening to a Pod Save America, and it's two Obama speech writers and one journalist.
Okay.
And they do a podcast about the State of the Union, essentially, but it's called Pod Save America instead
instead of God. Yeah.
It's awesome. But the third segment is, who... on the villain and on the hero side, would do a good State of the Union address. And the only caveats are you can't do Superman, Captain America for the good guys.
Well, fuck, I didn't thought it was only Captain America for the good guys.
Do you have Superman?
Yeah, I did have Superman. Okay. I'll come up with something else. Okay. There's plenty.
You can't do Joker, or no, you can't do Luther or
Doom
for the bad guys. So, Tyler, you latched onto this right away. Who's your villain?
Norman Osborn.
Oh,
yes, Norman Osborn would be great.
He probably was president. No, he wasn't.
No, he hasn't been president yet. But I would love to see a State of the Union delivered by him.
What era Osborn?
I'm
like
thinking
post-Gauntlet or pre, like, Dark Avengers?
Pre-Siege.
Mm-hmm.
Just right before that, when he is, Dark Avengers.
When he went nuts. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, they slash his helmet off and he's got a green paint on
his face.
Yeah,
like before
just
that.
Just before that.
Yeah. Maybe a State of the Union speech would be him talking about why he has to go fuck up Asgard.
They're on our turf. They don't belong.
We'll build a wall around them.
They're going to pay for it. I just think that'd be entertaining.
I'd love to hear, like, Thor say that. The fuck you say?
Yeah.
He's so fucking unhinged that it would be a hilarious, hilarious speech.
Yeah, that would be really good. Who's your hero, Tyler?
Reed Richards.
There you go.
I knew it. But so his State of the Union would be the opposite of Trump's. It'd be the quickest, but it'd also have the most words in it.
Yeah, he'd be like, everybody shut the fuck up. I'm about to
talk
a lot.
For, like, 20 minutes at you.
Because it would be efficient.
Here's all the things I'm about to do. Or here's what happened the last year. Here's all the shit I'm about to do. Fucking...
sweet, guess what's on your doorstop tomorrow? I got drones to deliver all you unlimited batteries.
What is that? Like, what is that? What is this, the Baxter Building AI? What is it?
Herbie?
Herbie. Everybody gets a new Herbie.
Everybody gets a Herbie.
A chicken Herbie in every Echo. Pot and a Herbie on every doorstep.
Jesus. Yeah, that's it.
Would he slogan it? Would he do like
no, the... No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be about slogans. Maybe somebody would make one for him, but he wouldn't use it, I don't think.
I've been told to say... so my villain was pretty, does it have to be Earth-based?
No.
Sinestro. My favorite
they State of the Union. State of the Unions on whatever his planet's called.
Korugar?
Yeah.
Or Oa.
I'd like to think of it as Korugar, because that's where he's from. That's where him and his daughter are from and stuff. So, like, his State of the Union would be very much, I did this shit this year, and guess what? I'm going to do this shit this year, and you have no say.
Yeah, and I'm going to go do it.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you think that there's a democratic process, but here's the State of Sinestro.
Yeah.
Like, he would even call it the State of Sinestro. He wouldn't call it, like, the State of the Union or the State of Korugar.
Yeah, you're probably right. And your hero?
My hero would be actually the opposite. It would be Jon Stewart. Because I think
he could, he's a military man.
I think he could develop. I think he could deliver a State of the Union along the lines of Ike Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could, Eisenhower. I think he could give like a military breakdown of the State of the Union, but then he would be able to easily generate his own visuals.
Mm.
So like, here's like, I to be honest, I think Jon Stewart is like the most level-headed Green Lantern of anybody.
Probably
at the very least, he's the most tactical, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I think he'd be able to like assess the social, economic, militaristic, and political situation in the United States, and just be like, create graphics that are like, look, here's how it's fixed.
Yeah.
And he would just use his ring to show you how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and yeah. Like that's it. Like even in like. Certain parts of Geoff Johns' Green Lantern, he's like, John is the most engineering based of us. He knows how it works from the inside out, and we'll build it that way.
Yeah.
So I could see like, and but he'd be a speaker like Obama's a speaker. So like, that might be a racist thing, but like, I think he would speak that way because that's how I see Jon Stewart.
You just think that Obama is secretly
no,
John
but I
Stewart?
See him as like Jon Stewart right now in DC, he's the leader of the Green Lantern Corps. Mm. So like he has to have that kind of commanding like Nelson Mandela like he has to be able to command that presence that just reeks of authority.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So, like,
makes sense.
In my life, the two black men that I've seen that have reeked of authority are Barack Obama and Nelson Mandela. So like. That's the best I can come up with. If you have another example other than, like, I don't know, Lawrence Fishburne, then, like, give me one.
I'll work on it. I'll think about it. So, for...
It's like Dave Chappelle with a good audience, you know what I mean?
Who
do you have for villain?
So, for my villain, I went with all this talk of corrupt politicians and all these accusations being
Maxwell
thrown around
Lord.
Trump.
That would have been
I went with Maxwell Lord.
Sorry.
No, I actually went with, I was like, who would make the best crooked politician? So I went with the Kingpin for the villain.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, because he presents himself
mm-hmm.
like our president does as a businessman.
Yeah.
Also, one of the first presidents I've ever seen to clap for himself
right?
in the middle of a State of the Union address.
Fucking
yay me. Yay
no,
for me.
He straight up looked up at the audience, pointed, and clapped and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
sorry.
Guys, I'm dope.
And I also just think that, like, the Kingpin, his would be very suave, and his would be like, he'd almost admit to you what he was doing, but you'd still be okay with it afterwards. You'd still be like, yeah, he's a decent president.
You know what? He has cleaned up the streets.
Yeah.
You know what? He's got something done. He'd be like the opposite of the president we have now.
Pretty much. And speaking of cleaning up the streets, the hero I went for was Frank Castle. So it would literally just be like, yeah, there's no crime. I
We're
killed them all.
We're bringing back the death penalty.
Frank Castle would not only be the shortest speech, but also the least amount of words.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But he's trying to make America safe again.
We didn't kill
enough
criminals this last year, but this next year will be better.
Yeah. I'm happy to announce the death penalty is overly legal in
it
every
is mandatory.
State.
He would also stop private prisons because it would just be a truck right into a gas chamber to get rid of prison. There'd be no need for a prison.
So
Jesus,
that's rough. But he wouldn't have just from a he would not have oversight over that.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's a judicial department thing.
You're
department
right.
Thing.
Well, until the Punisher takes care of it.
Sure, sure. Until he takes absolute despotic power over the United States.
Well, think about it. To him, I mean, crime is crime. Like, oh, you're a crooked politician.
No, I mean,
you're
just jury, senator, yeah, and executive power. Yeah,
he's got everything.
Hey, Mr. Castle, as you leave your second term in office successfully, who do you pardon? Nobody. Every president has pardoned somebody.
Yeah,
Donald Trump is one of the only presidents in recent history to pardon somebody before the end of their term. The president can do that at any time. They have pardon power over anybody.
Oh, they can pardon anything. Yeah,
absolutely.
But even after their term?
No, before their term is ended, it's traditional for before the president ends their term to pardon people.
Uh-huh.
And everybody really wanted Obama to pardon Edward Snowden.
Yeah, I remember that happened. Yeah.
Trump with Joe Arpaio did something nobody's done in a long time.
Oh,
and he pardoned the sheriff from New Mexico that's like super racist.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
That guy was fucking caught deliberately like profiling different races that were legally there in New Mexico. And he was arrested for it and tried in front of a jury of his peers, and he fucking was convicted.
Guilted, yeah.
Yeah, and Trump's like,
hilarious.
Nah, he's cool.
And just pardons him. Arpaio was saying, like, well, I've been pardoned, so it's okay. It's like, you dumbass, don't you realize that means you were guilty?
And he said, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be pardoned.
It's like, I never did it.
Yeah. You can't be pardoned if you're innocent. I pardon you for being a good person.
So earlier today when we were talking, Garrett goes, I think Joe Arpaio's running. And I was like, he's not. He is not running. Joe Arpaio might run for Senate in New Mexico.
And he's going to win it. He would totally win it.
He might. I hate
politics.
And that's
the sad part.
Anyway, your hero is Frank Castle. That's an anti-hero.
Yeah. So
that's a lot.
Still here. He would clean up. Not only would he clean up the streets, he'd clean up the government.
Oddly
my God.
He'd be like, oh, you're a corrupt politician.
Who would he take out first?
Anybody who took a bribe.
Yeah.
That's like every... That's
he would kill most of them.
Anybody that set the country
Bernie
to
Sanders
war for
took a bribe?
No,
ever.
No.
You ever think Bernie Sanders was ever coerced into taking a?
I don't know. I'm not him.
No, I'm not either. But like, would Punisher kill him?
Probably not.
It really depends on how severe the crime was. Punisher doesn't kill jaywalkers.
Depends on how he feels about old people.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got? We got a comics replace coming out this week.
Yeah, new 13th Age stuff.
New characters showing up.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And then let's see. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you guys next time on
comics. Bye bye.
Peace out.